Welcome to Story Comic Presents, where we interview amazing storytellers and artists. This is episode 356. I'm your host, Barney Smith of StoryComic.com. We're excited to have back with us our friend of the show from Down Under, the award-winning and internationally celebrated author, Amy Lawrence.
Hello.
Amy.
Thank you for having me back again.
I did the math. You haven't been on in a while. And you know what? I just can't go without spending at least some quality time with Amy.
And you're very
you know nice. What? I follow you on Instagram and you post a thing, yeah. You wrote a new book. I'm like, hey, you know what? Did you ever think about going on a podcast and talking about your new book? I know.
Like, hey, I know that you could come and talk about this.
I know, but you could talk about your new book. You're keeping this close to the vest because you must have been working on this while we were talking last time, and I don't remember you.
No, I wasn't.
Really? You just pushed this whole thing out that fast, huh?
Sorry, excuse me. the stories for this particular short story collection have all been written since August last year.
No way.
Yeah, oh my goodness. I had some opportunities with a mentor of mine to do some prompt writing and do like a once a month respond to a prompt type situation with them. And it's resulted in, six stories and two novellas. Because I was trying to write short stories the whole time, but two of them turned into, actually three novellas, I beg your pardon. The last story in particular, I had to write three times because the first two times it went long and became a novella and was too long to include in the collection, but I was determined that I wanted six stories in the collection. So, it was a little bit down to the wire in terms of finishing that last story in time to get it in there, but that's okay. We made it. We made it.
So for those that might be, I mean, because this is 100 pages, like this isn't like a small thing. This is a book. So
I can tell you how many words. I mean, I guess readers' pages make more sense, right? But yeah, it is. It's 23,000 words, if that matters to anyone. Yeah.
And so. I mean, people can buy this now. It's available on Amazon. It's available.
It comes out
now.
It's out. It should be out now. It's out on the 29th of April. So, yeah.
Okay. See? Yeah. And
rabbit saying bye.
Bye, rabbit. Look at that rabbit.
Off you go. Off you go. Good girl.
They look like it had like the letter M on its fur.
Possibly like her fur. Yeah. I didn't realize that rabbit fur patterns changed so much as they grew, but it's like this constant shifting, like a dynamic of like, what pattern does she have this week? It's kind of cool, you know?
Well, yeah. That's pretty cool. Okay.
Wild.
So talk to us a little bit for those that for definition purposes, what's the difference between a short story and a novella?
So for this particular instance, different markets vary slightly in terms of what they will consider a short story versus a novella. The cutoff though is usually 7,500 words, where it goes from short story to novella. That for me, importantly, is the distinction that the Aurealis Awards draw, and the Aurealis Awards are Australia's top sci-fi fantasy awards, so the sort of our Australian equivalent to things like the Hugos and the Nebulas, right? So if I'm going to go with any particular definition, I think it's going to be theirs, you know? So 7,500 words is the cutoff. The stories that spiraled and got a little bit out of hand and became novellas, I think they're quite short novellas, shorter than other novellas that I've written. They're about 8,500 to 9,500 words. So they are still quite short in terms of novella territory, but it's definitely long enough that I didn't want to pop them into the collection, so yeah, but that's okay.
So those are not part of the six stories then, those are separate.
Yeah, I've pulled them out as separate releases. So I've got one coming out in June, one coming out as a Christmas story in November, and then the other one I'll hold off until about April next year, I think is the plan at the moment. I think.
Wow. Okay. And so what was, and usually about that, by that time, 8,000 words, how many pages would that end up being? Like, that'd be around like 30 or so.
I can tell you, because the one from June has already been formatted and nearly, like, it's all up for pre-order everywhere as well. So I can tell you, it's called All the Things We Saved You From. It's 8,500 words and it's 58 pages.
Wow. Okay.
There you go. So it's just a little bait. Well, here we go. This will give you an idea. This is coincidentally, I didn't intend to have this. This is the one that comes out at Christmas time. Christmas Miracles, just a saying. And so you can see it's just a little baby at like 50, 60 pages long, you know, but technically it's a novella. So there we are.
And because you still going through that with like with Inkprint
Press. Yes. So Inkprint Press is me. Everything that Inkprint Press does, I do. I am 100% of the company sitting in front of you right now. And so that's where all my books get published. Yep.
Because for a while you were doing this, like you're trying to put out like what was like a book a week or a book a month or something like that.
You had we did the series called Inklets from 2019 through to, I think they finished in February of last year. February 2023
was
our 100th episode, as it were. And they were short stories that we were releasing as little individual titles in both ebook and print. And for just over 4 years, they came out on the 1st and the 15th of every single month for, just over 4 years. Yeah, that was a big project. It was good. I do not regret it. I learned so much. Like, if you want to learn how to publish a book, do it 100 times over, you know. That was a great learning experience. But by the same token, it is also, it's cleared up a lot of space in my schedule to not be publishing a short story every fortnight now, you know.
I know, because it was like book after book after book.
Yeah, and I remember having to like batch them and punch them out there. Yep.
And because you had Liana Brooks, is she still working with you?
Okay. Yeah. So her series of Christmas novellas is the main thing that the press is focusing on at the moment. She just had one come out called All I Want for Christmas is a Gargoyle. That one came out in the first week of last December. And she is currently working on All I Want for Christmas is a Cryptid. And that one comes out in December of this year. So, yeah.
But Cryptid could be anything. That could be...
You'll have to wait and see. I'm not sure how much we're like releasing about what the cryptid is beforehand or not. So come back to me in like 6 months' time and maybe I'll have like a definitive idea of what information we're releasing there and what we're not. But I haven't thought strategically about that yet. So TBC.
Is it a bunyip? It's gotta be a bunyip.
No, because she's not an Australian writer; she's an American writer, so she's writing.
Yeah, but I'm American. But I know what a bunyip is. See,
you'll have to wait and see.
It's gotta be Bigfoot. It's gotta be Bigfoot. I mean, if anything else,
I confirm or deny nothing.
Okay. So, talk to us a little bit about the six stories that are in, and then I shall transform.
Cool. So the first story, which you can see the little intro for there. So if anyone's interested, you can jump onto my website. It's really easy to find. It's just on the homepage and you can click to go to its individual page and you can read the first section of that short story there for free. It's called In Which Leaves Are Common Sense. And it combines my love of random biology with also my love of shapeshifters. So it starts talking about the fact, this one fact that I learned that I don't know, for some reason it really stuck with me and it really appeals to me. The fact that when trees lose their leaves in autumn, in fall, we assume it's because the leaves die off, right? That's what it looks like is happening. The leaves die off and then they detach from the tree and they fall. But actually it's a very deliberate process on the part of the tree, and it's not that the leaves are just randomly dying off, it's that the tree actually actively sucks back in all the nutrients that are stored in the leaves and sucks those back into itself as a kind of like nutritional hibernation through winter. So it's got extra nutrients to then survive through winter, because in its little cost benefit analysis, it's like, no, I'm better off holding on to the nutrients and not being able to photosynthesize because there's not enough sun around at this time to make photosynthesis worth it. So it's more important that I hold on to the nutrients. So this idea of being able to like shed a part of yourself in order to protect yourself through a period of hibernation was really fascinating to me. And I paired that. So that is something I won't spoil necessarily, but that is something that is relevant to our main character in that story, who gets trapped out hiking in autumn when the weather suddenly turns. And her hike mate, or their hike mate, the gender is not actually ever clear because it's first person narration, and that was kind of deliberate. Their hike mate transforms into a werewolf when he was not supposed to. This is like a week before the full moon, so he's not supposed to be turning into a werewolf, but the weather has turned, their lives are in danger, he's turned into a werewolf, bum bum bum, you know. If you spent some time thinking about those puzzle pieces, you'd see where the story is going. So yes, that's the first story, which adds to my little body of work that's happening called Hiking in Australia, because I used to do a lot of hiking in the Australian bush when I was younger. The second story is one that came out of a really... I'll try and keep this as short as possible. So in Australia, we have what's called the Jim's group, right? And apparently, I was researching for this story, Jim is actually a real guy. He's a real entrepreneur, and he makes a living like building up these franchises and then selling them off. And that's, you know, he's like a mega millionaire because of this. And so when you drive around, particularly here in Canberra where I live, you drive around Canberra on any given day, you are going to see a Jim's vehicle of some sort, whether it's like Jim's dog washing or Jim's gardening maintenance or Jim's cleaning, or, you know, pick one of those sort of householdy trade type things and you will see a Jim's vehicle for it. And so I was just sort of, I don't know, it paired. I'd been talking to my year 12 class at the time. This was 21, so they must have been year 11s then. And I had made this promise to two of them that I would include them in a story and that she would get to beat him up as part of the story, because that was what they needed to happen. And the two ideas combined, and what we've ended up with is this world where Tim, instead of Jim, has this interaction with the Fae and comes out of it with the ability to use gardening magic. But this short story is set now like 100 years into the future, where the whole setup is that he gamed the magic so that anyone who can convince the magic that they are Tim can also use the magic.
Right.
And so what we have in this short story, it's called Tim's Testing Day, but it's Tim's plural, not Tim's possessive, because it is the testing day of all of the Tims to see which Tim is truly Tim enough to actually convince the magic that they can be a Tim and use the magic, right? So it's just, I don't know, this collection just, there's a lot of left of field stuff in it. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like just really, yeah. Really, I've been pegging it on social media as being kind of audacious right. In terms of just really random mashes of ideas and scenarios and things like that that are just that twist from what you expect from reality. And it makes me so happy, you know?
Well, hey there. If you're enjoying our podcast, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube or leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform. Your support means the world to us and helps us keep this show going. We love hearing from you, so any feedback is welcome. Thank you for being a part of our podcast family and for all your support. It truly means a lot to us. Your genre that you kind of write for kind of has some of that, you know, like magical realism about it.
For sure.
And so how did it feel to kind of, you know, as you said, you're working with a mentor and just kind of working with inspirational methods of writing these. How has this increased your writing skills?
Yeah, it was, that's a really good question, actually. So people who have been following along on social media will know that I changed careers about, I keep saying 18 months because I feel like we're at the beginning of 2024. We're nearly halfway through 2024. So it will be 2 years in July that I had changed careers. And I'm in a position now to do a lot more writing quantitatively than I've ever been able to do before. And since leaving that job nearly 2 years ago, I've actually written nearly 2 full novels. And so just the sheer quantity of writing that I've been able to do for the first time in conjunction with all of this learning that I've been deliberately doing over the last decade has, I feel like it's seen a real solidification of my skills as a storyteller. And I feel like I'm really a lot more confident in my own voice now and what I sound like on the page and what I want a story to look like, which is really exciting and makes some parts of the process a lot more effortless than they have been perhaps in the past, which is really cool. So I knew when I went into this time period last year where I was working on these stories and trying to do one a month for that time period there, that I also wanted to be able to come out of that with something that I could deliver to people and a product that I could share with people and a way of getting these stories out to people who would enjoy them. So I always had in the back of my mind that I was going to collect the stories together into something, because you also find as well, when you go through, you know, periods of intense writing, often there will be similarities or connections between them that you didn't plan at all, but it's just because they're really reflective of what your subconscious is kind of noodling away on in the background at the time. So the kinds of themes or issues or growth or ideas or world building pieces that your brain is interested in that time will naturally create connections and cohesion between what you're creating. So I knew I was going to collect the stories. And so I gave myself a bonus challenge as well. And I was like, well, I can't remember how I came up with the idea of transformation, but I knew that that's what I wanted all the stories to revolve around. And so in addition to the input that was coming from my mentor and the prompts that I was being given, I was like, okay, how can I combine that in an interesting way with the idea of transformation so that I have that sort of cohesive thematic link through these stories as well? And then to be able to play with that. And so people who read the collection will see, like, there's a fairly, even though they're wildly disparate stories, you know, the fifth story is Romeo and Juliet as stomach bacteria. And that's not, there's a whole philosophy behind why I chose to do that. It is not actually just like a, what is the most random thing I can possibly do and let's see if this works. There's a whole, one day I will explain like the whole philosophical thing behind that. But yeah, I'm like, I don't know, even though there's such wildly disparate topics and ideas, there's still that sense of that, you know, that fairy tale lyrical voice telling that comes through them as a cohesive thread and that idea of transformation. So, wow. Yeah. It was fun. It was really fun.
So you're on a roll. So last time we talked, like I said, last time we talked, I just looked it up. Last time we talked, it was last January, 2023. So you're right. Yeah, it was basically the full whole year we didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you have a lot of books. So now that you have time to write more, you had some projects in the hopper. So you had some projects on the back burner. Are you looking at any of the other projects that you were going to start writing on as well?
Yeah. So the main project that I've spent the time since we last talked working on is a novel called Touchstone, which has had, We all know that I'd like to get a little bit ahead of myself and set myself deadlines for things that may not necessarily be achievable as a way of like forcing my brain into action and actually doing them. It got to November last year and I was like, yes, I've only got 5 chapters left in this novel to go. This is fantastic. I'm going to put it up for pre-order. It's going to be available everywhere. I'm going to get this done. It's going to be released in, I think I had said March this year, i.e. like a month ago. And then I was writing like the fifth last chapter of the book, something happened and I went, oh my gosh, no, this is not the climax that I'm about to send her into. This is the major fail right before the climax, which means I don't have 5 chapters to go. I have like 10 or 12 chapters to go. I'm not going to finish this in time. What am I going to do? So I had these short stories that I knew that I wanted to bring into a collection, right? And the thing is, as an independent author, you have some difficult decisions to make sometimes, because I had already put the pre-order up, in particular on Amazon. And if you pull a pre-order from Amazon, you get penalized. You're not allowed to do another pre-order for 12 whole months. And if that was just impacting me, that's one thing, but it also impacts the other authors that I publish as well. Like, so I can't just say, sorry, guys, I didn't get my act together, so you're not allowed to do pre-orders for 12 months now. It's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm like, and I'm looking down the face of like the amount of hours it's going to take to get this novel done in order to have the pre-order done on time. I'm like, okay, that is not feasible. If there is one lesson that the universe has been teaching us for the last 2 years since we left teaching, it is to stop pushing so hard that our body literally breaks, right? We're not doing that anymore. That is no. And so I was like, okay, well, I can't release Touchstone, but what I can do is sub them out. And so that is literally why the short story collection was pegged for when it was, and why that was such a quick turnaround, because right. I was committed. So Amazon would let me bump it back by a month, hence why it's the end of April, not the end of March. I'm like, oh, I'm committed to doing a book. I can either rush a novel, or I can, you know, I'm halfway through these short stories. That should be manageable. So yes, that's why it was a quick turnaround for that short story collection, because I had that deadline of like, nah, got to have something to release on the 29th of April. Here we go.
Right.
So, yeah, no, you go.
I was going to say, because also I was just really curious about Witch Blue and that world you created.
Oh, like, my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
So Touchstone is my editing novel for this year. Touchstone's my editing novel. My writing novel, I've just started the outlining process for the second Fox book. And then after that, I'm really hoping that I will get to Moonshot next, which will be the first official book in that Witch Blue. I mean, it's not. Rush Job is actually in the Witch Blue universe. It's just that it's, right, you know, a short novella, and you don't see a lot of the coolness of it there. So yes, Witch Blue is still like, I'm very committed to that universe. And if people commit to hanging around for a long time and reading the breadth of my stories, they'll see why I am committed to that universe. There are many things afoot, Barney. There are many things afoot. And I'm playing my cards close to my chest for now, but I'm very excited about the implications and the possibilities that will arise. I am 100% committed to Witch Blue. And like you, like every time I talk about it with people are like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It needs to move to the front of the queue. But also, you know, I have open series that are incomplete that I need to complete so I can be done with them. So
right.
Touchstone was a good palate cleanser. It's done. It's in edits. It'll be out next year. I need to get the Fox book done so that I can call that series done and have that door closed, because the first Fox book came out in early 2020. It must be four years ago now.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd like that one done and dusted. And then we are on to Moonshot, which, as I said, is the first, it's like it's the book that kicks off the entire Witch Blue universe. Right. In terms of timeline, it's separate from the main Witch Blue story. But yeah.
Perfect. Now, so Amy, if people want to learn more about your work, where is the best place they could go to?
Yep. So www.amylorenz.com has, you know, obviously that's the repository of all the information for all the books that I've got out. That is it right there. But if you want to keep up with me on a more regular basis and you want to see all the little behind the scenes snippets and things like that, then Instagram is the best place to find me as By Amy Lorenz. So BY as in books written by Amy Lorenz. That's my handle. And that's a great place to go if you want to see. So when I sit down and do a big writing session, I'll often put like a little snippet of it up there on Instagram at the end. I've got videos there that go through all the different six stories in this Transform collection and sort of pitch those six stories, all sorts of writing discussions and rabbit photos and, you know, all those sorts of things.
You got a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's lots of pieces to the puzzle, you know? Yeah.
Perfect. Well, so Amy, yeah. So when your other books come out, we gotta have like a regular Amy Lauren section of the podcast that we always just, yeah.
It sounds amazing. Yeah. And look, with my schedule being a little bit more predictable now, hopefully that's going to be something, you know, while I was teaching, it was all very ad hoc. It was like, do I have time to publish a book this month? No, do I have time to publish a book this month? Yes, okay, let's go. Everything, quick, make it happen while I've got 30 seconds spare, which is, you know, not conducive to being able to plan into the future about when things are going to come out and what's going to happen. But with my schedule being more predictable now, yeah, that's actually something we could achieve. Because, for example, I have all of my releases set for like the next 12 months now. I know when things are coming out. So
I know.
A whole different way of working, Barney.
You know, Amy, it's always a pleasure to chat with you, and congratulations again on your, what's this, your 48th book you've published. It's gonna
I don't think it's that. Quite that far. I think we're at about 30 now.
I think only 30 books.
Actually, I think it is. I think this one that comes out this April release, I think it is actually genuinely my 30th book.
You your 30th book. See, look at that. See, congratulations. See, it's exciting. Huh?
It is.
All right. Thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. It's fabulous.
I just literally, so I just discovered honey on my pants. So I made some honey toast for breakfast, and it was one of those things where like honey is going to be something that's handled like very like in a very delicate manner, because it'll go everywhere. And so I just realized I got honey dripped on my pants. I just noticed today. So now my hands all upset, man. But at least honey is easy to clean up.
That's true. That's true. It's not like it'll like soak into your clothing and wreck it or anything like that. But how long ago was breakfast for you? I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. It's only 8 o'clock in the morning here. It is not 8 o'clock in the morning where you are, buddy.
No, it's 6 o'clock at night here. Yeah. Well, you're in the day before the day after. You're in the day after.
Yeah.